It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, July 14th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, a slew of tech companies announce earnings. First up, Yahoo. It's been in the news recently for a move that might seem out of character, even if it's all the rage these days. Yahoo Screen, the company's video streaming service, picked up the sixth season of the TV show Community. Here's Carl Howe of 451 Research.
Yahoo has really always been a content company. It was about finding information on the internet. Nowadays, a lot of that information is video. So I think it's fairly natural progression for them to get into delivering video a la Netflix.
Howe says the big question about content moves like this is a nagging one for Yahoo, how to convert its purchases into ad revenue. We'll see how the company's doing tomorrow. So Google has already had over 70,000 takedown requests. That's after the European Court of Justice ruled the company had to address individuals' right to be forgotten online. Google's begun dealing with requests and pulling things down, including links to articles in British publications. Some have even been brought back after an uproar. Well, we've talked to our friend at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society, Jonathan Zittrain, about this before, so let's check in. Jonathan, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
They started taking down links, and people are wondering if they're just trying to scare us all.
Well, it appears that Google's been deluged by requests, as in the tens of thousands. And in The Guardian, in the BBC, there are some articles that have been delinked from names. And I don't think this is Google trying to say, you know, you want takedowns? Fine, we'll give you takedowns. But rather, this is new to everybody, and they're trying to get it right.
This depends on the country you're in, right? And that probably offers some complexities here as well in how this is being dealt with.
Yes, as best I can tell, when a request is granted to have a search result delinked from someone's name, that delinking will only take place in the localized European versions of the Google search engines.
This is not the only tech company in recent weeks that has been scrutinized for the data that it's using online. You think that recent revelations about these Facebook studies is part of the same issue somehow here?
Yes. I think both the European Court of Justice decision about a right to be forgotten and the Facebook experiment about emotions, an emotional contagion that has so many people up in arms, they're really two sides of the same coin. In the case of Facebook, what people I think are objecting to is the idea that someone is hand-tweaking the feed. And what's interesting about the ECJ right to be forgotten decision is it's asking for exactly that kind of hand tweaking. Now we're into the world of there's going to be many hands on that tiller for particular search results, and we might have been better off with the roulette wheel.
Jonathan Zittrain, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
When I think of car racing, I think of an assault of the senses. Bits of gravel flying into crowded stands, the haze of exhaust crashing over you in hot, blurry waves. To be honest, it's never done much for me unless I'm watching Days of Thunder. Oh yeah, and the sound. Awesome to listen to if you've got the right hearing protection. But the world racing circuit is about to kick into a new and different gear. I'm talking about Formula E World Championship, featuring, yes, electric cars. Formula E drivers revved their engines recently in Britain at the Donington Park circuit, and the BBC's Theo Leggett, by the way, a confirmed petrol head, went to find out more.
Okay, despite what you might think, that isn't the sound of an overpowered vacuum cleaner or a giant food mixer. In fact, it just could be the sound of a revolution taking place in the world of motorsport. I'm talking about Formula E, the first ever world championship for electric racing cars. It starts in Beijing in September, and there'll be races in cities around the world, including Miami and Long Beach. And it isn't just for fun, as the series' chief executive Alejandro Agag explains.
The objective of Formula E is to have more electric cars in the streets of the cities around the world. We think electric cars help to solve big problems that we have, like city pollution. So with Formula E, we want to accelerate that change towards electric cars.
The cars themselves look sleek and purposeful, quite like an Indy car or something from Formula One. But when they leave the garage, there's no revving engine, no pungent smell of burned fuel, just a frantic, high-pitched whirring. And if spectators find it all a bit strange, so do the drivers. Among them, former IndyCar racer Catherine Legg.
I've been driving racing cars now for a very long time, and used to big old grumbly engines, and obviously it's silent. So you're going down the straight and you can feel a little bit of buffering from the wind as you would normally, but there's no roar behind you, it's completely quiet.
The races will all take place on city streets, so fans can get close to the action, and DJs will provide a thumping musical backdrop. Ex-Formula One champion Alain Prost, who's running a team in Formula E, thinks it's a winning combination.
You know, we are going to have a one-day race inside the city with a lot of music, the concert in the evening, and I hope that we're going to bring some new people looking at this kind of race, and especially young people.
And that's the key. Formula E is aimed at young people, the kind who want their technology as clean and pristine as a polished iPod, and who won't miss the oily rumble of, say, a NASCAR V8. It means the new championship may well be spectacular, but it'll certainly be rather quiet. At Donington Park Racetrack, I'm Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
And before we go, don't freak out yet, but the National Nuclear Security Administration has given a supercomputer maker $174 million to build a machine that would, yes, manage nuclear weapon systems. It's supposed to make our stockpiles more secure, but in this era of systems-targeted malware and hacking, it does make one nervous. Name of the 82-petabyte system? Trinity. Name of the company? Cray. It does seem a little bit cray, doesn't it? I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.